Welcome to the Experience Darden podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. So it's been a while since we've talked about applying here on the podcast, but we're back with some application tips. I was excited to welcome my colleague, Director of Admissions, Katie Yielding, on the podcast to talk about some of our new admissions innovations for the 2021 application period. That's the application period for candidates targeting our full-time MBA class of 2023. During this conversation, Katie shares a lot of great tips and insights. So if you're planning to apply this year, you're not going to want to miss this conversation. So without further ado, here is my interview with my colleague, Katie Yielding. Katie, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Brett. Thanks for having me today.
It's great to have you here. Where are you zooming in from today?
I'm zooming in from family member's home. I've been in Charlottesville during this quarantine time and getting in a little family visit at the moment.
Nice, nice. Well, we appreciate you taking time out for the podcast. Are you doing okay? Hanging in there?
I'm doing really well. It's been nice to have this change of scenery, but it's been an exciting time in admissions this summer. And so I'm looking forward to gearing up to talk more about it today too.
All right, before we dig into it, one of my favorite conversation topics here on the podcast during the pandemic and these times where we're spending more time at home has just been, you know, what are you doing to pass the time these days? Any hobbies you picked up, anything you've been watching on TV, anything you've been reading?
Oh, I love this topic, Brett. So I'm going to give a podcast recommendation. So I, along with Experience Darden, love any other podcast too. And one of my favorites that I've been listening to this summer is called Missing in Alaska. And I have several family members in Alaska, so it's topical interest for me personally. But it's all about the plane crash, an unsolved mystery of a plane crash in, I believe, 1972, where two U.S. congressmen died. One of them being a congressman who is, I believe, Speaker of the House from Louisiana, and one being a congressman from Alaska. And it is fascinating, this unsolved mystery of this plane crash. So if you're somebody who likes a little political drama, who is interested in potentially a mafia story, and, you know, likes the Wild West of Alaska, it all comes together in this one podcast.
How are we supposed to compete with that here on the Experience Darden podcast?
I don't know. You asked me what I'm doing. I'm binging Missing in Alaska. So hopefully others will enjoy it too now.
Wow. Well, I want to check this out. So thank you so much for the recommendation. Of course, we had you come on the podcast, not just to talk about what you're listening to, but also want to talk a little bit about our new application. It is a new application cycle, the 2021 period in admissions parlance, focused on recruiting for our class of 2023. Katie, how do you feel?
We are so excited. I think this is the first year we've continued to have folks applying as with our extended round three while we have launched this new application. So as some of you may have learned already, as you've been thinking towards your next steps, our application went live back in June. And so we've already received so many folks interested in starting that process and learning more. And we've been heartened to see people excited about this coming year in admissions world.
Well, we wanted to have you on the podcast to talk. You're director of evaluation, and you have such great admissions experience. We wanted to have you on the podcast. We haven't had you on the podcast yet, and so excited to have you here today. One of the most common questions that we get from applicants is how to think about which deadline is right for them. So I know you get these questions. I certainly get them on our MBA conversations, but EA versus round one versus round two, just at a sort of a macro level, how do you encourage candidates to think about which deadline might be the right deadline?
Great question. So we have expanded our offerings of when to apply even more every single year over the last few years. So we are now at four deadlines. As you mentioned, we have early action and then rounds one through three. And then we have some expanded options within early action this year, which we can talk about later. I think when folks are considering when to apply, there's a few considerations. First and foremost, my advice is apply when you're ready. Don't rush the process. If you don't have the components quite ready yet, you got a lot going on with work. It's a crazy year in the world right now already. You know, you don't have to push and make sure that you apply early action. There's going to be space available throughout all the rounds. We would not have four rounds available if we didn't admit people in each one. So know that whenever you apply, there's going to be availability there. That being said, I think you should apply as soon as you're ready too. So, no need to drag your feet. I think I see sometimes people saying, oh, I just want to, really revise my essays one more time, or just, give another try at this one thing. And sometimes it's just, hey, it's time to move forward. Let's just see how it goes. Don't kind of hold yourself up too much there. I think there are, advantages to applying a little bit earlier. As folks may be aware, with our early action deadline in particular, it's slightly different than our other rounds. Folks who apply then have the opportunity to have an open interview, to schedule their own interview. And that, I think that can be a real opportunity for someone to advocate for themselves, to really share more about who they are and what they're going to be able to bring to the Darting community a little bit earlier on in the process. For our rounds 1 through 3, those are going to be interview by invitation only. So your application is going to get reviewed prior to that invitation being extended. So if you're someone who maybe feels like, hey, I could be on the bubble here, or I really want to be able to get in there and show Darden that they're going to be my top choice, early action is a great way to be able to show that with us a little bit earlier on. And then if that's not quite in the position you are right now, then we can't wait to see your application come rounds 1 through 3 later too.
And let's talk a little bit more about early action, because as you mentioned, there's a new option this year. Previously early action here had been non-binding, but now there is an opportunity for a student as part of the application to signal that they're interested in a binding option. I'm going to talk a little bit more about how to think about non-binding versus binding, what might lead an applicant to choose one or the other.
Thanks for asking. It's one of our bigger changes for this year, as offering two different paths forward within the early action application process. So when someone fills out that application, they have the option to select, do they want to go through the binding route or the non-binding route? And I think, there's advantages to each, just depends on the position someone finds themselves in. I think that, the binding route really came from our applicants asking us, how can we indicate that Darden's our top choice? What's a way to demonstrate that early on in this process, show my commitment? And by selecting the binding route, you're committing to Darden early on. You're saying, if offered admission, I will accept this and attend the school and withdraw applications from any other school you may be considering. So if that is a position you find yourself in, if you have already done all your research and you know that Darden's the school for you, then we encourage you to select that binding option. The non-binding option is what has been provided the last few years. It's exactly what it sounds like. You go through the normal process after you're granted admission. You have a period of time to decide if you're going to accept that offer and then move forward from there. There is maybe, I think, one of the things on the back end, there's a slight difference in maybe some of the accommodations we're going to make for our binding admitted students, who may be able to offer some earlier services to them as well. There'll also be a slight difference in the deposit structure for binding versus non-binding. But overall, it's more just whether our applicants are ready to go, head first and commit to Darden at the time of submitting their application.
So Katie, one of the nice additions for this year's application is that candidates have an opportunity to share a little bit more about their background. The sort of circumstances in which they grew up and their household, that they were raised in. Are they first generation college? These kinds of things. You want to talk about the inspiration for the addition of these pieces of information to the application?
We're excited about some of these changes that we've incorporated into the new application. The idea was to give people more of a platform to share about who they are and their life experiences to date. And that includes some of their childhood context for us, some of their family life context for us. We want to expand opportunities for higher education to more and more people. And we acknowledge that there are going to be different advantages that some people experienced in their upbringings. And so these questions are structured in a way for our applicants to provide a little bit more context for whatever that means for them. There's not a right or wrong answer, but we want to know if they choose. These are all optional categories. But I think, you know, in particular, some of the open-ended space gives folks a chance to say, I was, you know, working a full job, or I was a caretaker for an additional family member. All of these types of things that we know that may impact, you know, how they are able to spend their free time, or you know, whatever, however else they were using their energy, maybe during their undergrad years as well. Having the space to really share in a more holistic way who they are and what their lives have looked like helps us really see their potential in this next chapter for business school as well. I think traditionally we saw people maybe trying to share a little of that in the additional comment section in the application. And we thought, you know, we can flesh this out more. Additional comments can be used in other ways, but what if we actually provided space for people to talk about their life and their upbringing or circumstances that may be important to share if they so choose within this application process?
I'm personally really excited about the questions. I'm so interested to hear what people share, read what people share there. We talk all the time about, Darden, you bring your whole self to the classroom, all of your experience, not just your work experience, but also your lived experience. And I think it's just going to be another thing that gives us more depth on the applicant and their background and their story. Of course, you know, through all of this, it's all about that narrative. And the story you're telling.
I think Darden really is unique in that respect of, you know, I think, you know, we say all the time, it's a holistic review. And I think this is just an extension of that, really wanting to get to know our applicants, understand more about who they are and how they're going to bring those experiences to Darden with them and be able to share those perspectives with their classmates in the future too.
Yeah, you make a great point. By asking the question, it has signaling value rather than just, you know, relying on people to provide that information in the additional comments, actually give someone the opportunity to speak directly to it. I think that says a lot about sort of values of school and sort of what we're interested in as admissions committee. So I'm excited about that. Another innovation for this year has been some of the test flexibility. So we've added the executive assessment to the standardized test that we accept. So that list includes GMAT, GRE, executive assessment, or EA, as it's known in the marketplace, MCAT and LSAT. We also now have a test waiver request process for folks who think they may have a background or experience that may result in a sort of our waiving the standardized test requirement. We have Donna Clark on to talk a little bit more about test flexibility. But what have you been hearing from candidates about these innovations, and any questions that you've gotten about the test waiver that you kind of want to speak to here?
We've been so excited to be first movers in this space. I think it's been just great to see the interest in providing more opportunities for people to demonstrate their readiness for business school, but it doesn't just have to be standardized tests alone. There are other ways to show that. I think I'm really proud of the work our committee did to look at the data from our current students and from the pilot that we had this past spring during round three to say, you know, what are some other ways that we could be evaluating excellency and readiness? And so, you know, I encourage anyone who thinks they may fit that criteria to, you know, take some time, read through the frequently asked questions. I know Brett has a blog post coming up on this too. So there's a lot of great resources that we're trying to provide for those who think that they may want to demonstrate their readiness in other ways. And so if you think you want to submit a waiver, take some time, read those materials, listen to the other podcast that's coming up soon. And then we'd be happy to read your submission. So drop that waiver request as you're ready to do so.
Yeah, I think we've tried to put a lot of information out there, and I just want to underscore, you know, if you read through the FAQs and you read through the instructions on the form, I think you'll have a good sense of what we're looking at and what we're really paying attention to. I think within the group of folks who's reading the requests, we've seen a lot of requests, a lot of interest in this. Is great. We really have felt like it's important for candidates to meet more than one criteria, which is something that we do know, but we just want to underscore that. You know, of the reference criteria, we want to see that folks meet more than one. Generally, we're looking at your resume and transcripts. It's not an application process itself. It is really just a determination about whether a standardized test would be required. And as we note, it doesn't really indicate the likelihood of admissibility for a candidate. It is just really focused on whether or not you will need to submit a standardized test with your application materials. But, you know, we're always here to help. You know, you can schedule an MBA conversation. That's one of the things our committee makes available to candidates, and I think is a general reflection of our desire to be helpful. You know, these podcast interviews are great, but sometimes you have your own questions, and so you can reach out and schedule a conversation with us. Katie, how have your conversations been going? I know you do a bunch of these. Any good questions that you're getting from prospective students?
Oh, I love having these one-on-one chats. I think it's so helpful for me to hear what's going on as prospective students are thinking about Darden. I love that the conversations are across a wide variety of preparedness for business school, folks who are just starting to think about what an MBA may look like, to people who have already applied or being admitted. And so getting to have the start to finish conversations with people, and that relationship building is something that I value, and I know my colleagues do too, that we want to know you, we want to know what's on your mind and how we can be most helpful. I think a lot of questions this summer have been around the increased test flexibility, especially in light of the world right now and uncertainty around things like testing centers. Us providing an alternate option, I think, shows our flexibility and empathy for people's ability to apply to business school when other elements in life and in the world may be a little bit more uncertain right now as well.
Yeah, I really enjoy those conversations too. And it's amazing just the diversity of folks you get to talk to. In like in an hour, you could talk to somebody from India and someone from China, someone from the US, from the DC area, from California. I am always amazed by just the range of folks that we get to connect with in this job. And no two conversations the same. Sure, some people will ask similar questions, mm-hmm. but everybody's background's a little bit different. What's on each candidate's mind is obviously filtered through their own experience. And you're right. We talk to some people who are very early in the process. We talk to some people who are very much in the midst of applying and have very specific questions about the application. So if you haven't found your way to our Schedule a Conversation page on the website or Schedule a Conversation yet, it's a great way to connect with a member of our team. And this kind of brings us naturally to this is going to be an unusual few months, or at least a possibly cycle, as we navigate COVID-19 and we think about events and programming, be a little bit different, in terms of we've already started on some of this. We're doing virtual events. We've always done webinars. We're doing coffee chats virtually as well via Zoom. Katie, how are you encouraging candidates to stay engaged with us or kind of signal their interest by connecting with us?
So I think this year, more than any other, it's just going to be a real leveling of opportunity for people to get to know Darden. That traditionally we had webinars and some online events, but we also had opportunities for people to visit us in person and to come see us in the cities in which they live. But those tended to be major metropolitan areas or certain cities where we were able to visit often, and maybe some that only happened a few times a year. And so I think in this virtual recruitment year, it gives people who live anywhere and everywhere, every time zone around the world, a chance to connect with us, a chance to connect with fellow prospective students too, whether it's with a partner school event or with it's a Darden specific event, a coffee chat or an MBA call. It just, I think, is going to give us more of an opportunity to provide engagement with our prospective students. So I think I'm actually really excited about that. And I would encourage our prospective students to look out for a few of those opportunities. Maybe it's joining a group chat. I think sometimes listening to other people's questions sparks new questions in your mind as well. So jump on one of those and hear what's on other people's minds right now. Or come over to one of our Forte events or one of our other partner school events. And you hear what's going on from some of those conversations. And then schedule a one-on-one conversation with us where we can really talk about you, talk about your journey, your goals, your interest. You kind of think of it from some of the individualized opportunities to some of these larger group ones. Try to reach out and have a mix of those as you learn more about Darden and learn more about what it's like to get an MBA.
Yeah, I really love your point about the sort of leveling aspect of the online event world. It's something that we've felt a lot, I can say, on the executive MBA side with our admitted student events. And I'm sure you've seen this too. Full-time students, everybody can come to everything now. Like it's not a question of like, are you in the DC area? Are you in New York? Are you in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter. Everybody can attend. And so we've actually kind of seen that it's created this incredible opportunity for community building and for people to make connections that would not have happened well until people could have actually met each other in person. And all of a sudden now, the internet, who knew,
Who knew? Here we are, 2020, teaching us new things. I think it is going to just provide more and more opportunities for us to be better connectors for our prospective students as they walk through this process with us.
Absolutely. And I know we will definitely have more admissions themed webinars. So if you're interested in application related content, don't worry. We'll have plenty of that ahead. I know we've been doing some career oriented webinars and those have been popular, no doubt, because, well, the decision to go back to school to get an MBA is a career decision. And I'm sure we'll come up with other things, but hopefully we'll see you online. And we are, again, just to underscore Katie's point, an admissions committee that really enjoys getting to know prospective students. So definitely take us up on that opportunity. So Katie, I want to pick up on something you said earlier about the extended round three deadline. As you mentioned, round three was extended until July 15. Just wrapped up that deadline. Gosh, it started in April or so and went to July 15. One of the groups that's been on my mind a lot as we kind of thought about that extended round three deadline and just, application process as a whole are reapplicants, people who applied this past cycle and maybe didn't get the answer they had hoped for and are still very much interested in Darden and are planning to reapply. What advice do you have for our reapplicants? I know this is a group that we really, really value. What tips or suggestions might you have for them?
We are looking forward to seeing many people reapply to Darden this year. We do feel like it's a year that's going to see a little bit more of that activity. And we love a reapplicant. Every year we have people who have successful second pass at applying to Darden, and we really encourage that. I think a lot of times, the first time through, you probably learn a whole lot about yourself and a lot about honing your goals and your interests and just your pitch to come to business school. And so we find that our reapplicants are more prepared and ready for the process the time through. So I want to be encouraging of that and supportive of that. To that end, and in light of just kind of the people who applied really late in round three, who probably not much has changed between maybe June and July to when they want to reapply in early action or round one, we wanted to create a little bit more of a streamlined process for our reapplicants this year. And so that's something we're in the process of developing right now. But if you're somebody who says, yeah, that was me, I just applied to Darden, I still hold the same job, I just told you all about it, we want to make it a little easier to be able to go through this application process a second time. And so we're going to have the ability for you to clone certain elements of your application. That'll be something you'll need to request of our team to do for you, but we'll make it really clear how to go about that process. So again, that's something we're hoping is going to just make life a little bit easier for some of our reapplicants. Of course, you can start from fresh if you want to. You don't have to copy your application if you don't want to, but we want the option to be out there. We'll have a little more information coming soon on the logistics of that, but keep your eyes and ears open if that may be helpful for you out there.
Well, it's not every day that we get to break news here on the podcast. We may not be a true crime podcast about plane crashes in the Alaskan wilderness, but we occasionally will break some admissions news. That's exciting.
I'm really pleased to be able to provide this flexibility for our reapplicants. And, I love a breaking news cycle. So here we are entering the fray in podcast world.
Absolutely. You were ahead of me on your answer to that question, because I was thinking about the folks who may have applied in June and are like, well, I'm interested in applying in early action. It's only been a couple months, the deadline for early action is September 2nd or so. I'm trying to figure out what might have changed about my candidacy. And so I was glad to hear you speak to that, because I know that's a group we've been thinking a lot about.
And so some of the reapplicant requests will remain the same. We do copy over your previous two recommendations, but we do ask for one new one. So that will remain the same criteria for this year for a reapplicant. We'll copy over all the other material. I would suggest refining or rewriting some of the short answer questions. That may be an area that does provide a reapplicant a chance to just refine what their point of view is there, or to share a new example. Those may be some changes a reapplicant may want to consider. But otherwise, you know, if it's just updating, you know, the dates of your employment by another 3 months, well, we can, you know, help expedite that process for you. You don't need to start from scratch and entering all that information this year.
So you talked a little bit about early action in the open interview feature, which always makes me think about one of the topics I enjoy talking with admissions folks about here on the podcast is, you know, invariably our favorite part of the admissions process, the interview. What tips do you share for candidates? You have these conversations, you coffee chats, webinars. Somebody says, Katie, what should I know about Darden interviews? How do I put my best foot forward in this conversation? What do you share with them?
Well, interviews are one of my favorite parts of my role at Darden, and when I take really seriously. As many people will know, the Darden interview format is a little bit different than perhaps other interviews that someone's participated in the past. It's very open-ended in nature, and so preparation for an interview like that may look a little bit different. It's meant to be a conversation in nature, meant to be an opportunity for the person to share more about who they are and what their values are. But it looks a little bit different for every person. I always like starting the conversations by saying, hey, this is an opportunity for you to showcase what's important to you. And I may have specific questions that come from that conversation, but for the most part, it gives our applicants a chance to really own their story, to share, you know, what they think is most important that we learn about them. So as they think to prepare for that, you know, it's not necessarily preparing a monologue, but it is preparing some structured points of what they want to get across and, you know, who they are, what their life experiences have been, what their professional career has looked like. A little bit later in the conversation, we tend to start moving things towards talking about the future, talking about goals within their MBA program, their professional interests, that type of subject matter. But I think that, you know, where the preparation should really come to play is much earlier, spending that time, that introspection, thinking about why you're taking this step, doing the kind of that backwards look at what's motivating you, what interests you about getting your MBA. And chances are, the more you do that, the more prepared you are going to be to actually talk about it in this kind of open interview type of format. So as folks are preparing for that, just kind of keep that in mind. I think it is something you can prepare for. You know, sit down and have a practice conversation with a colleague, with a friend, with a trusted advisor of some sort. They can help you refine that. It's not something you have to go into cold, but I think it does tend to be a much more natural conversation as opposed to a question answer type of structure.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned sort of the conversational nature of all of this, because I do think this is one of the trickier things for candidates. Not that our interview is conversational, but the fact that every business school kind of approaches interviews a little bit differently. And I think most people, when they think of interview, they think of, I guess, what are known as behavioral interviews. Tell me about a time when, or what's your greatest strength? What's your biggest weakness? Or these kinds of questions can be a little bit harder to shift gears to this more, I'm driving the conversation, I'm telling my story mode. I think sometimes for candidates who are used to that behavioral interview. So all the more reason to practice, right?
Agree. I think it sets up our students to be ready for the classroom at Darden as well, which is famously open-ended in the case method too. So I think it all comes together that we want to talk to people, get to know people. We want to hear their perspectives, their thoughts, make sure that they're going to bring an energy and a point of view to the classroom when they're in there with their other classmates within the program as well.
That's a great point. I always underscore for candidates that we are trying to think about who you'll be in a lot of different settings, right? We're trying to think about who you're going to be in a small team, like a learning team, 5-6 people working together. Maybe later at night, trying to figure out a particular case, what's going on. And also in a classroom, sharing your background experience, talking about a case where answer's not perfectly clear. There's maybe many potential answers to the question at hand. Thinking about, you know, who you'll be outside the classroom and in the community. You know, we talk all the time here on the podcast about the fact that there's over 50 student organizations and counting, and so many different roles for students to play at Darden, all of them important. So Katie, as we wrap up here, I'm curious, any final tips or suggestions you would have for candidates applying for our full-time MBA class of 2023?
Well, this has just flown by, Brett. I've enjoyed it. One early action specific tip came to mind when you were asking me a few minutes ago about preparing for interviews. And that's, if you are applying early action, I encourage you to move forward with the interview sooner rather than later. We'll begin interviewing applicants in mid-August and then throughout September. It's kind of first come, first serve in terms of the availability that we have to conduct those open interviews. So if you are planning on applying by that September 2nd early action deadline, you can actually interview sooner. I would love to interview you in September, in August. It would be wonderful to go ahead and have that conversation earlier. So if that's appealing to you out there, we would love to go ahead and get to know you through the interview a little bit earlier on. So know that you'll have the option to schedule based on availability, and that availability is coming really, really soon. It'll be here in just a flash here in early August.
We're just breaking news left and right here on the podcast today. Unbelievable.
Oh, it's been a blast, Brett.
Yeah, absolutely, Katie. Thank you for coming on. I mean, we'll have many other conversations here on the podcast about applications. We'd love to have you back here. This is just the beginning of our cycle. We're sitting here in late July. We are just getting started. Early action will be here in early September, followed by round one, round two, and of course, round three. So plenty of other opportunities to talk about applying to Darden. What's next for you? What are you looking forward to in the admissions world? You doing any events upcoming, or got any coffee chats planned?
I have been participating in some fun fairs, and I do have some coffee chats coming up soon. Those have been a real highlight to my virtual recruiting experience this summer. I've really enjoyed getting to know people there, and then getting to have follow-up conversations with them later too. So I've got a few of those coming down the pipeline and more MBA chats as well. So I would love to continue to get to know everybody there. Come find me in one of those spaces soon.
Yeah, and coffee chats, for those of you who are wondering what that is, it's a small group. The group's typically, Katie, right, about 10 people or so?
I'd say 7 to 10 folks in a room at a time.
That's right. And you can come and meet other prospective students and connect with an admissions committee member. I've really enjoyed it because I think the one that I helped out with, we had like three people from British Columbia on the coffee chat, something crazy like that. It's insane. It was like on Canada Day, I think, too. It was just this confluence of things that just... I don't think if you would have bet on it, I don't know what the odds were, but not good. It's just incredible. So from our perspective, take us up on all of these events, as Katie noted. We'd love to get to know you, and hopefully we'll see you online for a virtual fair, a coffee chat, webinar, or connect with you on MBA Conversation. So Katie, this has been fun. Thank you so much for taking some time out for the podcast.
My pleasure, Brett. Have a good one.
And that was my interview with Katie Yielding, a director of admissions on our admissions committee here at the Darden School of Business. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.